Welcome to the Lincoln Young Professionals Group podcast, Yappin' with YPs. I'm Mia Drennan from the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce, and we're here in our AOI studio with Miss Alexis Wingert. I'm so excited to have you here today, and let's just start with you kind of introducing yourself.
Yeah. Well, my name's Alexis Wingert. I am originally Minnesotan. I'm a transplant here in Lincoln, but I've been here for, 12, 13 years now, so Lincoln is my home. I play a few different roles right now in the community. I am back in the local business land and am working for Make It Pop. So we are your one-stop shop for all things events like balloons, backdrops, marquees, bounce houses, all that jazz. And we are actually about to have our grand opening. So we're opening up a new event space early March 2026 over off 74th and Yankee Hill. So anytime you need an 80-person space, we are your spot. But we'll still do outside events as well. And then I also do sales and business development for Grindstone Media. So Grindstone specializes in like service-based businesses as well as really like storytelling for nonprofits. So thinking about those donor videos that you're going to play at your gala that's going to really help people connect to your mission and also open the wallets at that really important night is something they really specialize in.
Where do you find the energy?
We do a lot of car snacking and lots of early morning workouts to get the energy up.
We love that. Well, you started your journey, well, at least where I want to start with your journey, is you're the creator and founder of Grazing Gouda. You know, tell us about the journey of going from creating a company to stepping away and selling it and kind of taking those next steps beyond.
And that journey started at a time, too, where I was, like, working full-time corporate. Yeah. So I was at Huddle for 7 years. Started Grazing Gouda in my fifth year there. So I ran it for 3 years full-time before I stepped away from balancing both at the same time and going full-time with my own business. I got to go through like the whole process of building up the business, creating it, and then selling it, which I think is a really unique experience. So it's still alive and well in Lincoln. And Sarah, who owns Rutabaga's Vegan Comfort Food, now has lots of cheese and salami in her kitchen and is slinging that all over town. But it's been a cool transition of like when I decided to sell, I was like, okay, I either needed to bring in a full team or sell and have someone else run this. And I was like, I don't really want to manage a team of 10 people in a kitchen and do that anymore. And so I decided it's time to make this pivot. And it's actually been very freeing, like to be able to now still work in the local business space, but step back from taking on all that ownership and the risk and just truly be able to use my creativity without, you know, getting letters from the government in the mail or like not sure how to do my taxes and like all the stressors that really come with it. So I get the fun, really enjoyable parts of being an entrepreneur still and in that mindset every single day.
That had to have been difficult to kind of grow this business from nothing into what it is. I mean, everyone knows the Grazing Gouda logo. Everyone knows the Grazing Gouda cheese. How was that moment? What made you, like, what was your kind of like, I'm ready to move on? And what were your feelings around that?
Yeah, I was reading The E-Myth, and I got 33 pages in, and it's about the myths of entrepreneurship. And by page 33, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to sell this thing, and I'm going to stop reading the book, and this is what I'm going to do. And I had a friend's wedding in Scottsbluff, Nebraska that weekend, so had a five-hour drive to myself, and driving time, like long road trips. I do a lot of them up to Minnesota. That is like my peaceful time. Like, I will not turn the radio on until like hour four. Like, I'm just doing a lot of thinking and processing because my life, I feel like, is so busy that I need a little bit of quiet time to really go inward. And so on that drive, like, I was like, okay, let's think through this. I consulted my parents, my business coach, and my boyfriend, and I was like, okay, this is kind of what I want to do. And they're like, well, your mind sounds made up. And I'm like, yep, it is. So I'm a very decisive person, and I've just felt truly like so at peace throughout that process. And I was like, I know that this is the exact right thing for me to do. I wasn't living my life the way I wanted to. Like, it got to the point where I wasn't able to show up for the people the way I wanted to in my life. Like, I had to wait 8 weeks to meet my first nephew because I had orders every single day and I was not set up in a sustainable way to step away and things like that, where I'm like, okay, I don't like the way I'm showing up for my community. And that's like one of my biggest values is my community. And so I was like, it's time to make a change.
That's really powerful to kind of introspectively know that about yourself and know when it's time to make certain decisions, which I do want to get into in a little bit. But before we kind of step away from some of the entrepreneurial conversation, for young professionals out there that are wanting to take maybe a step into that direction, what's your biggest piece of advice for that initial journey of entrepreneurship?
Yeah, do it when you're ready. Because I had so many people in those 3 years that I was still at Huddle while operating Grazing Gouda. And like, I mean, I was waking up at 4 a.m. to fold salami, go to work at 8, do my day at work, do some deliveries or pickups if I could over lunch, and then like back to Cisco for a pickup in the evening and prep again. So it was not a healthy balance of what I was doing, but my parents are entrepreneurs, and so I just kind of feel like I have felt, I've known that grittiness. But so many times people are like, you just need to quit. You need to go do your own thing, like go full time. And I'm like, you don't have to pay the mortgage. You don't have to pay the bills. You don't know like what's going on the back end as you're building this thing up. But then I like truly like prayed for abundance, and I had to take a whole week off of work for a massive order that I got. And I was like, okay, the whole unlimited time off thing was nice at Huddle, but I can't take that much time off for doing this other business all the time. So then I knew it was finally time.
I love that advice of do it when you're ready, which I feel like can be difficult for YPs to really know when they're ready for things. I mean, I've I've battled with that myself in my career. So kind of going into some of the other stuff I want to talk about today, there are some big decisions that you've made. Especially post Grazing Gouda, you took a sabbatical and you did some travel, you did some just like kind of self-growth journey. And not everyone can do a sabbatical. That's not in everyone's cards by any means. But what I really want to talk about is how important is it for young professionals to prioritize themselves? I feel like there's a stigma of you got to grind, you've got to get the work done, you've got to show up when the boss is there. I mean, those are all true. But tell us a little bit about prioritizing yourself.
Yeah. I think that's something that was instilled in me from working at Huddle to start, because part of also staying as long as I did was I was an intern for 2 years and then full-time for 5. And when you reach 5 years, you do get a two-week sabbatical. So I was like, I'm going to stay until I get there. I was so close to it. And I was like, I can see that like gift at the end of this journey. And so that was something that I then took that experience, and I was gone for 10 days on a Mediterranean cruise. And I was like, oh, this needs to be a priority of me getting out, because when I came back, not only was I refreshed, but I had so much more creativity. I had all these flavor experience I had. And I was like, this is what I need for my business. So maybe that was research and development. I don't know. But
I love that.
But yeah, after I sold the business, I sold it in October. I knew I did not want to do another holiday season, because that was the craziest time of the year.
I can only imagine.
Crazy time, a lot of cheese. And so I was like, I'm going to sell this in October and then take 3 months off before I start my next job. So I actually got hired at the next position I was stepping into in September. And I told them, I was like, hey, like it felt a little scary. I was like, here's what I need. I need this salary and I need 3 months off before I start. And they were like, okay, we'll do it. And I was like, okay, I guess ask for what you want and it might happen. So
it's
I did
always
it.
A no unless you do ask is it my is. Whole spiel.
Yes.
So I love that they said yes.
Yeah. So I took 3 months. I traveled to the Netherlands with my mom, where she's from. I got more time with family. I did not have to take like a 12-hour nap when I got home for Thanksgiving and Christmas after like doing a bunch of orders. So it was just a really refreshing time that allowed me to step back into the workforce again, because I knew it was going to be in a very different capacity, but also to like come down from like being on and functioning at a high capacity at all times in my business. And then after I left the position at the nonprofit I was at, I was a little naive to think that I was going to get hired in like 2 weeks after leaving a job. It was a 6-month break, but that taught me a lot of like, that wasn't necessarily a sabbatical that I wanted to take, but it taught me a lot of like, here's how we're going to slow down and like, what are you actually going to do with your days to make them intentional when I'm very much like a workhorse, like I'm an Enneagram 3 to its core. So I'm like, let me just work and work and work and achieve. And that slowed me down a lot, which was a blessing.
I love that you talked about your most recent sabbatical and how it maybe wasn't the length you wanted it to be. But I mean, as all young professionals do, creeping on your LinkedIn page, you were so active during that time. You were posting weekly questions that were very thought-provoking, and you were still very prevalent.
And 70 coffee chats and in 6 months. I was like, I'm going to meet, if like a LinkedIn DM hates to see me coming. I'm like, I have no fear to message anyone from anywhere in this community and be like, I want to talk to you. Let's have coffee. If you have 15 minutes or an hour. And every single person was like, sure, let's do it.
A young professional that's brave and caffeinated is something to fear, I think.
Here we come.
Yeah, right? I mean, you've had quite the journey. You're in this new role. Well, you're in these two new roles, multiple new roles. You know, what's the biggest piece of advice that you have for young professionals in some of that kind of unknown time frame of, you know, you'll land on your feet.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. Tell us a little
bit
more.
I think it's, like, really getting comfortable being uncomfortable is something. And that's something that, like, was drilled into me in my first job. And I hated hearing it. I was like, this is, like, awful to hear. I don't want to sit in uncomfortability. Mm-hmm. But I've learned that I really can thrive in that. And, yeah, nothing looks the way I planned it to be. But it's turned out to be such a blessing. Like, during those 6 months, I think I submitted close to 300 job applications. And I now I'm like praising God that I landed where I am, because me being in a gray cubicle is not a good look on me. Like, that is very soul sucking for me. And now I get to step in and it's like, today we unboxed 120 chairs for the event space. Last night we were painting backdrops. Tomorrow I have a lot of sales meetings. Like, every day looks different, and that's where I really thrive again. But I think it took a lot to for me to understand that, like, it's not going to look linear. It's not doesn't matter what it looks like to anyone else. Like, I'm going to go out and do what I want. And I now am really starting to understand, like, what it means to be in a job of, like, to be able to step into a position where it is uncomfortable, it's unfamiliar. I'm Marissa's first full-time employee, so I get to really kind of pave the path. But there's also, like, quite a few bumps in the road that we're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
But I'm learning that what I'm truly meant to do is, like, be in this, like, business strategy mode. It's a gift of mine that just, like, spews out of me. And it's really allowed me to thrive in that versus going into something that, I could go work in marketing at another agency or in a different space, and I would be happy and content.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'd be, like, as soul fulfilling, thriving as I am right now.
Yeah. You talk so strongly about knowing kind of who you are to your core and what fills your bucket. That takes practice. That takes a lot of introspective thought. Do you have any, not shortcuts, but, you know, key tips for young professionals who are maybe trying to start that process?
I think I've spent a lot of time figuring out what energizes me. And it's like, what wires or what tires you? And that is not only in, like, passions and hobbies and the type of work that gets me up rather than dragging me down, but also the people that I'm surrounding myself with. Like, I've spent a lot of time over the past 3 or 4 years of, like, anytime I'm driving home from spending time with someone, like, okay, how do I feel in my body? Am I feeling energized? Am I feeling absolutely drained? And then kind of replicating that in other areas of my life of, like, okay, this part really, really gets me going. This part is going to take me 3 days to get done because there is no energy being output from me. And so now I feel like I'm in a position where I can really be honest with my boss and supervisor and be like, hey, this works really well for me. These things are not my jam. Like, how do we realign things? And yeah, there's going to be things that I'm going to have to do that I'm like, this is not it for me. But if 85, 90% is energizing, then I think that we're in a really good place.
Yeah. I think that's one of the best ways to advocate for yourself is to fully understand yourself first. And you kind of mentioned something, it's not linear. I think kind of getting away from stereotypes of career paths and expectations by certain ages, I think that kind of weighs on people a lot. And so, you know, I think understanding yourself goes a long way in fighting for what you want out of your day to day.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm also like a personal growth junkie. Like I think I've been reading personal growth books since I was like 10 years old.
I love that.
I just love them. I mean, I made my family do the Enneagram for Christmas and I did a 2-hour presentation Christmas morning. Like that is what they get to experience.
We need that presentation.
Yes. So that's something, but I just love to learn about myself because I'm like, okay, I don't feel boxed in by any of these things. But when you take all these assessments and it's like, oh, there is truth behind Enneagram. There's truth behind strengths. There's truth behind all these different things that make up the amazing human that I get to be. And I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense that I'm a woo and community is my number one value. And that like communication is up there too. Like this all very much checks out.
Yeah.
So me going to crunch numbers in a gray box every day is not going to be the spot for me.
I love that you have taken the time to do that for yourself. I hope that other young professionals listening in today get to feel that bit of inspiration to go do it for themselves as well. There's so many different resources and cool things and opportunities within Lincoln alone. But I just want to thank you so much for being so open and transparent and vulnerable and sharing your story, because I think it's going to go a long way in our community. You're someone to look up to.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
thanks for having me.
Of course. We'll be back on the next episode of Yappin' with YPs.